Blog Talk Radio.
And hello there. I apologize that I called in about a little more than 15 minutes late. But nevertheless, here I am. You're now listening to the Om Yisrael Chai radio show. I am your host, Benjamin Solomon, here to give you the facts and nothing but the facts. Now, this show is going to be about, I've been busy with other stuff, but can't do a show every day, but this show is about the Palestinians bringing their case, their pseudo case, before the International Criminal Court, against Israel. And we see that the Palestinian Authority right now, the chime is not open, so if you're listening live to me right now on a computer from the episode page, you want to be in a chime, I have to do one simple thing, reload the page, and once you reload the page, it's the best server on Blog Talk Radio. Now that I said that, the Palestinian Authority wants to join the International Criminal Court, and they want to, and they're bringing Israel before the ICC, the International Criminal Court. Now, this is what. Now, I don't trust the ICC. It's like I don't trust the UN. I don't trust them to do the right thing, because I think it's the same themes. The Palestinians have been waging a diplomatic war against Israel as part of their tactic. It doesn't only include violence and terrorist aggression. There's also a diplomatic war as well. And so the whole thing is, with the actions of what the Palestinians are doing, the Palestinians have constantly been bullying Israel. The Arab and Muslim world and the people who hate Israel have constantly been bullying Israel. We see Israel right now is too worn out to continue, and desperately wants peace. That's the truth of the matter. But the Palestinians have no incentive to make any meaningful compromise for the continuation of the peace process. You see, the peace process has been dead from the beginning. It wasn't going to get anywhere. I mean, look at what's happening right now. The Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas refuses to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. And recognizing Israel as a Jewish state and recognizing Israel's right to exist is exactly the same thing. The Palestinians have been obliged since before Oslo to recognize Israel's, and not recognizing Israel as a Jewish state, it's the same thing as not recognizing Israel's right to exist. Because if Israel is not Jewish, then Israel is not Israel. It really is that simple. But the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has refused to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. And the question is, why is that? I mean, what exactly does the Palestinian Authority get by not recognizing Israel as a Jewish state? What do they get exactly? I mean, because if they wanted peace, they would recognize Israel as a Jewish state. I mean, if the whole thing is, oh, we don't want to have any religious day or whatever, well, the Jewish people are also a people, and they're not only a religious group, but leaving that aside, oh, we don't want to have, like a religious day here or whatever. Well, the Palestinian Authority Constitution actually states that Sharia law is the main source of legislation over there. And yet Mahmoud Abbas refuses to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. Now, why is that? Now, Lapid and others, they've been telling Netanyahu it's not a big deal whether Mahmoud Abbas recognizes Israel as a Jewish state or not. I think it is a big deal because it makes a big difference, because Israel is expected to give Judea and Samaria, i.e. the West Bank, over to the Palestinian Authority. And if Israel is to give, like, and you look at a map of Israel. Israel is the size of New Jersey, and you see that the West Bank, curves right from the south and into central Israel and up to the north. I mean, look at Gaza right now. Israel left Gaza in 2005. As a result, Gaza turned into a terrorist base, and rocket attacks from Gaza onto Israel increased. And 2 years later, Hamas took over Gaza. Hamas, the Islamo-fascist movement, which whose charter calls for another Holocaust against the Jewish people. Hamas took over Gaza, and Gaza is a terrorist entity, a terrorist hellhole, an ISIS-style dictatorship run by Hamas. And the question is, if Israel leaves the West Bank, it's clear that the West Bank would be the same. And we see Israel left Gaza and cities like and cities and Sderot and other cities in southern Israel are under rocket fire. I mean, thank goodness Israel has Iron Dome, which actually does a good job intercepting those rockets and saving Israeli lives. But nevertheless, Sderot and other cities in southern Israel are under rocket range. I mean, imagine if Israel left the West Bank and Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and Lod's airport would then be under rocket range, and it would just be unbearable. Already in Sderot, when the rockets come, people have 5, 10, or 15 seconds to find a bomb shelter and hide. But imagine if, like, Jerusalem was like that, or Tel Aviv was like that, or Lod's airport was like that. I mean, imagine that. And so that's why, Israel needs a solid guarantee that any territory she gives, that any territory she gives to the Palestinians will not be a terrorist base. I mean, and so it's important. The question is, will the Palestinian Authority use any land they get to create a peaceful entity to help further the peace process, or will they use it as a terrorist base? I mean, Israel needs a solid guarantee, and that's why it's crucial on whether the Palestinian Authority recognizes Israel as a Jewish state or not. That's why that's crucial, because Israel needs that guarantee, and the world seems unable to understand that. You see, bullying Israel has been tried again and again and again, and it brought nothing but failure. You see, it brings more terrorism. It doesn't incur it doesn't move the peace process forward. All it does, it just encourages the Palestinians to continue with their antics. Because the Palestinians have no real incentive to continue with the peace process, and that's what the whole issue is. And that's what the whole issue is, because Israel pursues peace whenever the Palestinian Authority, whenever the Palestinians, threaten to unilaterally declare independence. Or just right now, when the Palestinians bring their, or when the Palestinians bring Israel to the International Criminal Court, to the ICC, we see that all the time the world blindly supports the Palestinians. The world, I mean, for a while the Palestinians threatened to go before the UN and unilaterally declare independence, and the world has been blindly supporting the Palestinians. You look at what's recently happening, and like Europe in particular has been blindly supporting the Palestinians. The French Parliament has been recognizing this illegitimate Palestinian state, and the Swedes have been recognizing this illegitimate Palestinian state. So, I mean, already when the Palestinians threaten to unilaterally declare independence, the world jumps on and blindly supporting the Palestinians and then blaming Israel. And so you see that this bullying of Israel, which is tried again and again and again, has brought nothing but utter failure. It brought nothing but failure. I mean, that's the whole issue here. This bullying of Israel does not help bring about peace. It just encourages the Palestinians to not move forward, because as I said, the Palestinians have no incentive, and that's why the Palestinians are bringing Israel to the International Criminal Court. It's really a bullying message to condemn Israel and to back Israel into a corner. And you see that the the anti-Semitic international community, like the Organization of Islamic States, which has a disproportionate amount of control of the UN, and these nations that hate Israel, they basically flex their muscle in condemning Israel and bullying Israel. I mean, look at the Human Rights Commission in the UN. It's a joke. It's just, I mean, the Human Rights Commissions are composed of dictatorships that are guilty of human rights violations. And they spend their, and they take time out of their day to go and condemn Israel. I mean, it's a joke. And we see the, right now the same thing with the International Criminal Court, which I don't trust. We see that, like, the International Criminal Court, it brings the potential, I mean, the Palestinians, by bringing Israel to the International Criminal Court, it brings the potential for Israeli officials and Israeli soldiers to be tried in foreign countries for war crimes. That is, they'll be charged in foreign countries for basically defending their country. Because we already see that Israel's self-defense is announced as war crimes. I mean, you know, we live like right now, like with in a one-sided age pretty much, where we just have utter insanity. You see the U.S. Congress coming out with a one-sided torture report, you know, saying that waterboarding didn't work and saying that, like, the CIA and stuff is guilty of torture and wanting CIA officers tried in foreign countries. You see the Palestinians wanted the same thing with Israel. The question is, where are the arrest warrants for Hamas terrorists? You see, in Gaza, for instance, Hamas has been firing rockets at Israel from civilian areas. Hamas has been brutalizing the people in Gaza. Hamas has been throwing people off of buildings. And Hamas fires their rockets at Israel from civilian areas, as I said. And Hamas has their rockets in schools and homes and in hospitals. And Hamas makes sure that there's a lot of people near their rocket sites. Because Hamas wanted to maximize the amount of people killed, while Israel bent over backwards to minimize the amount of people killed, Hamas tried to maximize the amount of people killed. And we see that's what's going on. Telling you, this is going to be in some more bullying. I mean, the world is ganging up against Israel. The nations are ganging up against Israel. The goy of the nations, because goy literally means nation, just to be clear. The goy of the nations are ganging up against Israel. The other nations are ganging up against Israel. And we see this is just bullying Israel into a corner. I mean, this bullying Israel into a corner hasn't really brought in anything productive. It just encourages the Palestinians to bully Israel some more, to go and unilaterally declare independence without offering anything in return. Because, you know, I mean, never mind that the territory that Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, is actually up for negotiations. Never mind that not only did Israel leave Gaza in 2005, but, you know, even before, like, even from Oslo, 98% of the Palestinian people were already no longer under Israeli rule, but under the rule of the Palestinian Authority. Never mind that. So 98% of the people in Judea and Samaria are not even under Israeli rule. But nevertheless, we see that the Palestinians, I mean the territories were supposed to be up for negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians. That's what was agreed upon. UN Resolution 242, which is the basis of the Land for Peace proposal, has actually did not use words like all or the or every when talking about Israel leaving a territory. Notice I don't say giving back or return, because I mean, you can't return anything. I mean, giving back or returning means that the people who had it before, means that the people who are receiving it had it previously. The Palestinians never had a state or never had a country. There was never a country called Palestine. Israel won Gaza, Judea, and Samaria from Jordan and Egypt in a war of self-defense. and Israel did not win it from any imaginary Palestinian state. Just want to be clear about that. But the UN Resolution 242, the very basis of Land for Peace, omitted the words all and the and every, and the drafters of that resolution admitted that the omission of those words was intentional because they were not expecting Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders. They were not expecting Israel to go back to the 1949 armistice lines, which were, by the way, temporary borders drawn up in wartime, and they were never meant to be to be permanent legal binding borders. I just want to be clear about that. But the Palestinians have no right to go before the UN and unilaterally declare independence, because already from Oslo it was agreed that the territory would be up for negotiation between Israel and the Palestinians. And yet as I said, this pulling Israel into a corner, it means that the Palestinians have no incentive to move forward with the peace process. Instead, they can go and violate their obligations and go before the UN and threaten to declare independence and bring Israel to the International Criminal Court, and the Palestinians will get praised for it, and Israel will get condemned. I mean, that's basically what's been happening, specifically with the Palestinians threatening to unilaterally declare independence. Israel has been condemned, and the Palestinians have been praised, like always. I mean, the world Palestinians whenever it involves condemning Israel, because when you see the Palestinians being discriminated against in Arab countries, nobody cares. I mean, the real occupied Palestine is Jordan. But you see that, like, the Hashemite regime in Jordan mistreating the Palestinian majority, nobody really cares because it's not Jews. It doesn't involve condemning Jews. The problem is we see the anti-Semitic overlords in the UN, like these anti-Semitic nations in the UN, and in these international bodies. I think the International Criminal Court is going to be the same thing. They think they can flex their muscles. They think they can flex their muscles, and then they can just back Israel into a corner. But they fail to understand the most important thing. They fail to understand that there is a God out there. We did not come from nothing. There is a God out there who created the universe and who caused all this to come to being. And there is a God out there who is protecting Israel. Clearly you can see that God's will that Israel exists, and God sides with Israel. Hashem, God sides with Israel. And as long as Hashem is with Israel, there's always hope. You can see clearly Hashem is with Israel. Because when Israel won territory, Israel won more territory in wars of self-defense. And in the 1967 Six-Day War, Israel won more territory in six measly days. Israel won more territory in six measly days defending itself against Arab nations, two of which, Egypt and Syria, were armed by the Soviet Union. America did not support Israel until the 1973 Yom Kippur War. Before the Six-Day War, France was Israel's primary supporter. But you look at the Six-Day War in particular, Israel winning all that territory in 6 days against nations which were armed by against Arab nations, two of which were armed by the Soviets. It's clear that God is with Israel, and God is protecting Israel, and God is shielding Israel. So the Palestinians in the world, they think they can flex their muscles and bully Israel into a corner. What they fail to understand is that Hashem will ultimately redeem Israel. And when the days of the Mashiach Messiah comes, I think the world will regret bullying Israel. I think the world will regret that they bullied Israel. And people will see the truth about God, and people will see the truth that Hashem is the only God out there. And people will understand. And in the Messianic days, people will have a clear understanding of what God wants. right now, you see the international community, they think it can flex their muscles bullying Israel. And you see specifically right now, you see people, you see countries that defend themselves from radical Islam are charged with war crimes. But you see that, like, to add some more of the stupidity, a while ago, the European Union Supreme Court actually removed Hamas from the terrorist list on the grounds that the information that linking Hamas to terrorism was not based on the European Union's own assessment, but based on information given to them by the United States. Well, if the European countries have 3 months to appeal that decision, so Hamas is asked if they're still frozen. But yet, nevertheless, it's a fact. I mean, how can you look at the situation and conclude that Hamas is not a terrorist organization? As I said, Hamas has been firing rockets at Israeli civilians from civilian areas. Hamas has been hiding rockets in homes and in schools and in hospitals. Hamas has been, I mean, look at how brutal Hamas is even with the people in Gaza. Hamas throws people off of buildings. Hamas is totally ISIS, and most people in Gaza know this, and they're too afraid to criticize Hamas because they know that criticizing Hamas, because the people in Gaza know that criticizing Hamas means that they're risking their lives. Hamas is another ISIS. But with this hypocrisy here, the world thinks they can flex their muscles and bully Israel because they think their power is the ultimate power. They fail to understand that there's a God who's above them who is going to redeem Israel. God will redeem Israel. God is watching, and God will redeem Israel. I guarantee that. I guarantee that Israel will be redeemed by God and the forces of evil, the forces of godlessness will lose. As I said before, and I'll say it again, the attempts to undermine Hashem's covenant with Israel has been about as long as the covenant itself. I mean, because it's really part, the struggle with Israel, I think, is really a battle between godliness, is the battle between the forces of godliness and the forces of godlessness. That's what it is. It's a battle. It's ultimately a battle. And we see that, like, the forces of godlessness, they want to conceal godliness. They want to chase away the Shekhinah, God's presence. And part of trying to erase godliness from the world is they'll deny the Jewish connection to Israel. And they'll try to, and they get offended whenever anybody calls Israel a Jewish state. I mean, these people hate God, and that's why they hate Israel. Because you see that the Jewish people having Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, is clearly God's will. And when the Jewish people have Israel, then the land of Israel really has potential to be a holy land and to be a godly land. The forces of godlessness are worried about. They don't want the Jewish people to have Israel, because if the Jewish people has Israel, if the Jewish people have Israel, then it's really a potential for godliness to be there. It really is a potential for godliness. It really is a big potential for the Shekhinah. Because the Jewish people, having Israel and doing mitzvah in Israel, really brings holiness. When a Jew does a mitzvah, a commandment, that Jew is bringing more holiness into the world, and that Jew is bringing in the Shekhinah, and that Jew is bringing in godliness. and the forces of godlessness are threatened whenever a Jew does a mitzvah. The forces of godlessness are threatened because it's darkness that vanishes when you put a light over it. You know when you shine a light on darkness, darkness vanishes. You see the same thing here. You see for the Jew, the way of mitzvot and the way of Torah represents light. And you know, like during the end of December was Hanukkah, and Hanukkah is the ultimate holiday celebrating mitzvot and celebrating Torah and celebrating godliness. Explain why? Because you see the Greeks. You see Antiochus and the Greeks. When they try to, Antiochus and the Greeks did not try to exterminate the Jewish people. I mean, unlike Haman and unlike Hitler, the Antiochus and the Greeks did not try to systematically exterminate the Jewish people. No. The Greeks wanted to impose their religion and their culture on the Jewish people. For instance, keeping Shabbat, circumcising Jewish males, and doing any mitzvah was punishable by death when Antiochus was in charge. And it was the Maccabees who fought back. It was the Maccabees who fought back the Maccabees fought back so that the Jew can continue to bring the Shekinah down to earth, which is exactly what a Jew is tasked to do, bring the Shekinah down to earth. So you see, the Greeks at the time represented the forces of godlessness trying to undermine the Shekinah, trying to undermine Hashem, God, and His unity. And that's what the issue is about. Now, with lighting the menorah, now, in the Talmud, there are two opinions. There's Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. It's an infamous debate. Now, Beit Hillel said that when lighting the menorah, you're supposed to light from the first day and then increase the light. Beit Shammai said you're supposed to light all eight candles on the first day and decrease the light. That is, you want to say you, I mean, namely the Jewish people. And so the whole thing is, and the question is, and actually in the Jewish law halakha, like before the days of Mashiach, the Messiah, follows the opinion of Beit Hillel, House of Hillel. And then during the Messianic days, the Jewish law would follow the opinion of Beit Shammai, House of Shammai. And the question is, why is that? That's ultimately relevant to what I'm saying here. And let me tell you the answer. Because the light of a Hanukkah menorah is a glimpse of the light of the Messianic days. The light of the menorah during the 8 days of Hanukkah represents the light of Torah and the light of mitzvot, and it represents and is a glimpse of the light of Mashiach. Now, when the Messianic days comes, that light will be all around. So then the light of the menorah becomes more unnecessary because that light's all around. You see, before the days of the Mashiach, when darkness is all around, during the battle between the forces of godlessness and the forces of godliness, you see, the light of the menorah during Hanukkah represents the light of godliness. And it represents the light of Torah, and it represents the light of mitzvot, and it represents, and the light of the menorah is a glimpse of the light of the Messianic days. Now, during the Messianic days, that light will be all around. And so that's why the light gets decreased, because it's unnecessary to increase that light, because that light's already all around. because during the Messianic days, if the Jew was to increase that light, that Jew would be it would be redundant basically because that light is already around. But before before the days of the Mashiach, you see the light of the menorah is a glimpse of the light of Mashiach, and it represents the light of Torah and the light of Mitzvot, because that's what Hanukkah really is about: celebrating the Jews' freedom from the Greeks and the Jews' ability to continue observing Torah and observing Mitzvot and continuing to bring the Shekinah down to the earth. And that's really the battle, that's really the heart of the battle here. You see, it's really the forces that hate God that want to bully Israel. The UN and the International Criminal Court, they think they can flex their muscles and bully Israel into a corner, and they think that what they say goes. What they fail to understand is there's a God up above who actually doesn't see things quite that way. There's a God up above who is with Israel and who doesn't understand what Israel is dealing with. And the UN and the International Criminal Court and all these organizations that condemn Israel are truly in for a surprise. Because, I mean, also you see the same thing with, as a result of the Palestinians having the goal to bring Israel to the International Criminal Court, Israel is now rightly withholding tax money for the Palestinian Authority. Because why should Israeli taxpayer money go to a terrorist entity that is bringing Israel before the International Criminal Court? That's the question here. I mean, my answer is it shouldn't. That taxpayer money should not go there. We see that Israel has been desperate for peace. Israel tried to negotiate, but the Palestinians have no incentive. Because it's not really about the peace process, you see. It's really about an eternal battle. That's been going on since day one, and you can see it's been going on, I think, well before the Jewish people were around. I mean, see, right now, the Jewish people are at the center of this battle. The forces of godlessness are threatened whenever a Jew does a mitzvah. And that's the issue here. The Jews having control of Israel threatens the forces of godlessness. That's why they do all they can to undermine the Jewish connection to Israel and to deny the Jewish connection to Israel, because you see, Israel is the center of the world. Israel is where is the center of this very battle. The battle of godliness versus the battle of godlessness. That's really at the heart of this. Potential in Kedusha and holiness. When the Jewish people control Israel, that's when the land reaches its full potential in godliness. And this is why the forces of godlessness are threatened whenever Jews are in control of Israel. This is why the force of godlessness is threatened when the Jews are in control of Israel. And this is why they do all they can to undermine the Jewish connection to Israel, because their whole purpose is to undermine Hashem and His unity. And they undermine Hashem and His unity largely through undermining the Jewish connection to Israel. And that's really the whole issue behind why does the world blindly support the Palestinians when aiding Israel? Why is it that when the Palestinians get discriminated against and oppressed in the other Arab countries, nobody really cares? When it comes to Israel, all of a sudden people care so much about the Palestinians when they can condemn Israel. The question is, why is that? And because the Palestinians are agents of godlessness in trying to undermine the Jewish connection to Israel. I mean, and the Palestinians are also pawns, actually, of godlessness in trying to undermine the Jewish connection to Israel. I mean, they only matter whenever it hurts Israel. You see, it's all about hurting Israel. It's all about these people who hate Kedusha, and that's why they hate the Jewish connection to Israel, and that's why they feel so threatened by anybody calling Israel a Jewish state. Just like you see people are so threatened whenever a Jew does a mitzvah commandment. mean, as I said, this is not really about the peace process, as I said. Not being redundant, but I don't care. It's about the ultimate battle, where Israel's at the center of it. Israel, the Jewish people, are at the center of this battle between good and evil and between the forces of godliness and the forces against godlessness. Make no mistake about it. The international community, the nations disagree. I know I'm getting a bit repetitive, and I don't really care. Nevertheless, here's the basic thing that I said. The International Criminal Court and the Palestinian Authority and the UN, the International Criminal Court, the thing that can flex their muscles and push Israel into a corner, when actually Hashem is with Israel, and as long as Hashem is with Israel, there's always hope. And as I said, it's really the forces of godlessness pushing this. It's not merely, this is not merely, oh, Islam is the problem. No. This battle has been going on long before Islam was even found as a religion. Before Islam was around, the Greeks and the Romans were trying to undermine the Jewish connection to Israel. And so the same thing, godlessness. Because the Greeks and the Romans felt threatened by Kedusha. And whenever, and the land of Israel reaches its full potential of Kedusha only when Israel is under Jewish control. It's really that simple. The land cannot, I mean, you know, Israel being called the Holy Land. I mean, the land of Israel cannot fully reach its, the land of Israel can never reach its full potential of holiness when it's not under Jewish rule. I mean, it's really that simple. I mean, the Jewish people are God's holy people. The Jewish people were chosen by God to bring the Shekinah, God's presence, down to earth. And as a result, they were to reside, and the Jewish people were to reside in a godly land, and they were to bring godliness. I mean, it really is that simple. I know I have like 1 minute left, so I don't really have much time. I might go a little bit in the archives to finish my point. But the thing I want to say is, but the thing basically I want to say is, you know, for instance, like already with the Shabbat, for instance, and even the land of Israel also has a Shabbat too. It's a sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, which is this Jewish year, actually, 5775. Because, as I explained in previous shows, Shabbat represents two things. It represents the Jews' freedom from slavery in Egypt, the Jew ultimately saying, you know, I am free. And, you know, and basically observing Shabbat to basically show the world that things are not dependent upon man's actions. But the Jew ultimately keeps Shabbat to show that everything is not dependent upon man's actions. No, it's dependent upon God. And that's how the Jew trusts in God. They do the same thing with the Shemitah year. Just as the people of Israel are a holy people, a kingdom of Kohanim, so too the land of Israel is a holy land. And therefore the land of Israel also keeps a Sabbath, the Shemitah year, as well. But the point is, the land of Israel can only reach its full potential of Kedusha if it's under Jewish rule. And that's why the forces of godlessness are threatened whenever Israel gets called a Jewish state or whenever Jews are in control of Israel. The forces of godlessness are threatened. Because the forces of godlessness are threatened by Kedusha. It's just like having darkness, and you turn on a light, and you shine a light onto darkness, and you expose darkness. You know, the darkness vanishes. The Jewish people, being in control of Israel and promoting Kedusha brings endless amounts of light, and that light vanishes the darkness. I mean, it's really that simple. And, you know, and you see people are threatened whenever Jews even think this way, like specifically secular Jews. Like, yeah, like the end of Amalek within secular Jews, like, you know, like saying, oh, this is too, these views are too narrow and too backward and stuff like that. You know, they view, they view like people who hold the type of views that I hold as too narrow and stuff like that. Oh, they want to, you know, you see non-Orthodox Judaism, you know, they basically want to move forward and do whatever is more popular in society. I mean, non-Orthodox Judaism is squeezing the spirituality, squeezing out any meaningful commitment to God, and really about, you know, being dependent upon man. Like, you see, like, with this acceptance of the documentary hypothesis, this idea that the five books of Moses, that the written Torah was really composed by different people over time. Why? Because not Jewish, but secular scholars say so. And they want to copy what the secular scholars do. And they want to repeat what the secular scholars say, what the Jewish commentators say, but they want to behave like the secular scholars. And rather than, you know, and rather than promoting the values of the Torah, which are the values of life, and the, you know, which are godly values of life, they want to dissect it and analyze it within secular liberal humanist lens. I'm not saying studying the Bible as literature is bad, but what I am saying is that when a Jew only studies the Bible as literature and doesn't get any spiritual meaning from it, that's what's bad. But if you study the Bible as literature, for any Jew who studies the Bible as literature, as long as he or she gets spiritual meaning, that's the important thing. Spiritual meaning is the important thing. I have no problem studying the Bible as literature as long as there's spiritual meaning. But that's the problem. You see, like, a bunch of non-Orthodox Jews wanting to believe that believing in the basic tenets of their faith is now backwards and outdated and stuff. You know, they say that Judaism has to adopt to the modern times, and so then, and that's their excuse for squeezing out the spirituality. Or you'll hear faith and reason, more like pseudo-faith and pseudo-reason, wishy-washy faith and pseudo-reason, because it's not real reason. It's really leftist, quote-unquote, reason. It's really leftist going under the guise of reason, but, you know, it's the same politically correct garbage, you know. I mean, their version of reason is supporting every left-wing cause under the sun. Heck, I mean, these people's version of reason basically includes killing millions of babies in the womb. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. Their version of reason is caring so much about endangered species while being okay with millions of babies dying in the womb because, oh, those babies are just blood clots or whatever. You know, that's not reason. Going by whatever is popular is not reason. I mean, I agree, faith and reason, real faith and real reason. But going by stupid, empty principles just because they're popular is not reason. A Jew is not supposed to go by what's popular in the surrounding society. A Jew is supposed to be an example to bring godliness down to the earth. A Jew is supposed to preach what God would want of people, and how God would want people to behave, and how God would want society to behave. Part of that includes understanding that human beings were created Betzelem Elohim in God's image. And part of that includes understanding that humans are not disposable. And part of that includes understanding that humans have a moral code. And that's basically what I'm saying, you know. I mean, that's the principle that I want to say.
The thing is, you know, as I said, let me archive a bit. The thing, you know, as I said, is, you know, the reason why I think Israel, I mean, as I said, I already made my point that I'm an archive, but Israel, I'll never forget this, as I said, and I'm going to be repeating myself, but let me conclude with this, even though I said it before, but I'm going to reaffirm and emphasize this. Israel is a battleground, ultimately, between the forces of godliness and the forces of godlessness. The forces of godlessness try to undermine the Jewish connection to Israel, ultimately because they feel threatened by Kedusha, and when the Jewish people are in control of Israel, that creates a real potential for Kedusha in the world. I mean, that's the ultimate reality of the situation. And so, for ever since the Jewish people received Israel, there have been the forces of godlessness have been trying to undermine the Jewish connection to Israel, and it never worked. You see, the ancient empires of Greece and Rome tried to undermine the Jewish connection to Israel, and that failed. And that ultimately failed. And now you see the Palestinian Authority and the Muslim authorities denying that there was a Jewish temple, saying that the Wailing Wall was really part of a mosque and all other baloney, never mind that the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed centuries before Islam was found as a religion, you know. I mean, they're going to fail too. They're ultimately going to fail. And the Jewish people will live on. The Jewish people in the world will be redeemed by Hashem. Although the world will understand that they were wrong to bully Israel into a corner. And people are going to see that the Jewish people are God's agents in the world. And people are going to see that it is God's will that the Jewish people have Eretz Yisrael for the land of Israel is a holy land, and the Jewish people are holy people. And so with the Jews in control of Israel, that's the real potential for Kedusha out there. And the forces of godliness will win. And godlessness will be defeated before the days, like right before the Mashiach comes. Make no mistake about that. That's the real issue here. So I think the ICC we're going to see some more bullying of Israel here with the Palestinians being their illegitimate case to the ICC. I think we're going to see I don't trust the ICC. I think they're going to join in bullying Israel into a corner. I mean, I really don't trust these international bodies because what they do is they blindly support the Palestinians while bullying Israel, and they somehow seem to think that that's going to bring peace when the Palestinians have no incentive to move forward with the peace process themselves. And all we get is the same failure from this. I mean, that's the real issue here. That's the real issue. But the Palestinians are not going to... the forces of godlessness and the Palestinian terrorists, including the Palestinian terrorists and others, I mean, those who want to bully Israel, they're not going to win. They're not going to win this fight. I mean, ultimately, godliness will win. And we will see a light will be shined through this darkness. And with that, we're out.